Hi, I'm Deb, and I'm a dating coach. You're listening to my podcast, Debbie Does Dating. This is episode 119, Go With Your Gut.
Debbie Does Dating with your host, Debbie Clawson. Sponsored by Dating by Deb.
Before we get into the subject matter, it's the awkward dating moment. This one happened to me a few years ago. I was dating a guy. I went out with him a few times and I really liked him. I wanted to impress him and be on my best behavior. So he came and picked me up for a date. We went to dinner and a movie probably. He was fun to talk to. Anyway, after the date, he dropped me off at my house, but we just sat in the car and talked for a little bit. My kids were inside. They were at the age where they were old enough to take care of themselves while I was gone for a couple hours, but he needed a drink or to use the bathroom or something. So I typically didn't want my kids meeting all the guys that I dated unless I really liked them. I'd been out with them a few times, so I figured that it was okay. So we go into the house and the first thing that Heber said was, "Mom, you bring a different guy home every night." Which is not true. Maybe in their perspective, I don't know, but it was quite embarrassing. I laughed it off and said, "Oh yeah, you're funny," and went to get him a drink. And I turn around and my boys are playing catch with him with their crusty wadded up socks. And he was a good sport. He was catching them and throwing them back to him, but I was, oh my goodness, it was embarrassing and awkward. My kids like to embarrass me, and they did a good job that day. So anyway, all right, your gut. Intuition, the spirit, instinct, a feeling, hunch, discernment, whatever you want to call it, we all have it. Let me share a story with you. A true story that'll help illustrate to you what I want to talk about today. It was quite a few years ago when I was a toddler to dating. I'd met a guy online and he seemed to be fairly interesting. I guess so much so that I wanted to move it to the next level and see if he was an actual person. All you online daters know what I'm talking about. He was tall and handsome from what his profile said. So we scheduled a date and I met him at a restaurant. He was tall and cute. Yes. We chatted. He told me all about himself, including the fact that he had a lot of money. And he owned an island in Fiji. I'm not saying that it's not possible, but you'd think that'd be a red flag to me. Nope, because I was still a newbie and I believed that everyone told the truth. Wow, this guy owns an island in Fiji? It was a pretty fun date. We didn't really do anything memorable after dinner, but we did set up another date. We chatted and talked on the phone quite a bit, and it all sounded really great. He had similar interests and were on the same page as far as religion goes. We talked for long periods of time, but each time after I got off the phone with him, I would wonder if he was lying to me. About what? Everything. Why would he lie? But literally each time we ended our phone conversation, I'd get off the phone and have that distinct feeling. No, he's such a nice guy. He knows a lot of information about the things that I know about. We talked about religion, about art and family. Things that were important to me. The things I was interested in, he was too. It reminded me of that Nacho Libre quote.
"You gotta be kidding me. Everything you just said is my favorite thing to do every day."
The things I was interested in, he was too. Another red flag? Yeah. I would ignore that feeling every time I had it. Our second date was another fun date. But when he picked me up, he gave me a hug. I could smell cigarette smoke on him. Immediately I questioned, does he smoke? Which isn't necessarily a bad thing, just not a thing that I want, nor do I want to date a smoker. No, he probably has a roommate that smokes. Red flag. So he asked me out again, and I'm sure we had something fun planned together, I just don't remember. But it was going to be an all-day Saturday thing. And back then, I would be in Salt Lake once a week for work. The Friday before our date, I was down at the convention center for the day. When it was over and driving home, I decided to call him. We talked and I told him that I was driving from Salt Lake. His house was on the way, so he suggested I stop by and we order pizza and hang out for a bit. So I did. He answered the door, I walked in, and his whole house smelled like cigarettes. Still, maybe it's his roommate. He lives with the Marlboro man. These are the conversations that I have between my head and my heart. You know you have them too. Anyway, we ordered pizza and sat down. His house was very cold. He also had one of those little rat dogs, the kind that doesn't have much hair. And I only tell you that because it comes out into the story later. I'm foreshadowing. My English major daughter will be so proud of me. Anyway, he showed me some of his artwork while we were talking. He told me about his family and what a good person he is. At one point, he said, "It's tough to come to Earth and do my best. I just want Dad to be proud of me." What? Is he one of those people who talk about their dad like he was your dad too? Or is he referring to who I think he's referring to? I brush it off and continue talking. He told another family story that ended up with him being the hero. And then he said, "When I get to heaven and stand before Dad," I didn't hear anything after that. Yes, he was calling God Dad, which is cool for some people, I guess. But in this particular situation, it was completely cringy. At that moment in my mind, he went from looking like a handsome, successful man to Mr. Burns from The Simpsons. Seriously, he looked just like him. I asked him how long he'd been divorced. He said, "Well," I said, "you're still married. It's almost final." I'm sorry, I don't date married men. Then he tried to downplay it and I wasn't having it. Next, he tried manipulation. He picked up his little naked dog and said, "He knows when something's upsetting me. Look, he's shaking. He's shaking because it feels like Antarctica in here. I need to go." He walked me outside, and as I was getting in my car, he said, "Can I call you when the divorce is final?" No. All the way home, I thought about how naive I had been. And of course, then all the red flags came out at full staff, waving with all their might. I thought about the position I'd allow myself to get into because I wasn't listening to my intuition. He was lying. The whole thing was a lie, and I was in his house alone with him. So many things could have happened. I felt sick to my stomach, but grateful I was no longer in that charred-smelling ice cave with Mr. Burns. So, what can we learn from that story? Follow that feeling. No matter what you call it, your gut instinct, discernment, the spirit, intuition, or a hunch, it's there for a reason. It may show up in different areas of your body. So whether it's in your stomach, your head, or your heart, it's there for the same purpose, to tell you something. It may be there to keep you out of danger, as in my case, or it may be just helping you make a decision that will serve you best. Listen to it. Personally, I like to call mine the power of discernment, which has more of a spiritual meaning to me. Whatever you call it, mine was definitely telling me something. Repeatedly. I believe that we all have that in us to help navigate our lives. I found an article on marriage.com that kind of broke it down for me. A gut feeling is a feeling that you might physically feel in your body, or it may sound like a tiny voice is encouraging you. Either way, it is something you should listen to, since it may be helping you make a decision. You may also call it intuition, which can help you make decisions without having scientific proof or a concrete reason. There's no need to have specific reasons for making certain decisions, especially when trusting gut instinct in relationships. A gut feeling can also protect you from danger. Yep. So they suggest 15 ways to trust your gut instinct in a relationship, and I thought they were pretty good. So number one, clear your mind. The mind is overwhelmed with information and stress in the digital age, making it more challenging to focus on your instincts. Therefore, lifestyle coach Amanda Robinson, in her book, talks about the need to clear your mind to relax and make better decisions. I love this. I love taking time to relax and clear my mind through meditation. It works. It helps ground you and bring your focus to the present. I also believe in the power of prayer. Personally, I feel I can make better decisions when I'm connected with God. So whether you meditate or pray, or both, or neither, just find a way to clear your mind and focus on what your body is telling you. Number two, take some time. Give yourself enough time to consider carefully what that feeling's trying to tell you. Don't try to rush it. Taking time will give you the chance to make better decisions. You could consider the first thought or feeling you had and ponder what it means regarding your relationship. This brought back to mind a time when I had a really big decision to make. I was actually not in any kind of state of mind to be making even small decisions, let alone a decision that would affect the rest of my life. I had before me option A and option B. For some reason, probably because I was a mess, I didn't even consider there was an option C. Do nothing. Take time. Ponder. Meditate. Pray. Chill out and give myself space to figure out what was best. No matter what, that is an option. Number three, talk to someone. If you don't know if trusting your gut feeling about something or someone is a good idea, you may want to talk to someone trustworthy in your support system about it. The person you talk to could offer advice and provide an alternate point of view, which might be invaluable. This is so big to me. I want to save someone else from making a mistake I did. It would have saved me so much heartache and pain if I would have just let someone in. So for the last 4 years of my marriage, I literally suffered in silence. Things weren't going as planned. My marriage was spiraling downhill, and I felt like such a failure. Because I thought failure was weakness and was too humiliating to admit, I told no one. I was pretty close to my sisters at the time, and I didn't even tell them how much I was hurting. So please have your support system. Talk to them. Tell them what's going on in your heart. And please realize that failure is part of life. It's not a bad thing. It's actually a way to get better, to take responsibility and to heal. Because I kept it all in, I feel like I prolonged my suffering unnecessarily. Also, saying it out loud brings a bit of clarity. Hearing yourself talk about it may help you figure it out. Talk to your friends. They love you. And if you don't have any friends, talk to me. I would love to help anyone avoid that much suffering. Or talk to a therapist. Or I'd like to add a dating coach. If you don't have anyone you can talk to about your gut instinct in relationships, you could talk to a therapist. They'll offer you professional guidance on deciphering your instincts or teaching you about trusting yourself. I grew up believing that therapy was for those who were broken and that it would be totally embarrassing to admit that you were in therapy. But over the years, I've learned an important lesson. We are all broken in one way or another. If we weren't, we wouldn't need anything or anybody. Now, I totally believe in the healing power of therapy. It's helped me in my life and many of my loved ones. Number five, write it down. Something else you can do is write down how you're feeling. It can help get your thoughts on paper and figure out what is going on and what you want to do. Consider keeping your thoughts in a unique journal. Studies have shown that journaling your feelings can help you sort through them and be therapeutic. It's also helpful to write things down, so if you need to set it aside for a bit, you can go back to where you left off. You can also see the progress you've made in trusting yourself with decision making. And that may not be a big deal to some of you, but for me, it was a long process to learn to trust myself and make good decisions for me and my kids. Number six, understand your feelings. Try to understand how you're feeling. Think about why you want to follow your instinct and what it might mean for your relationship. 7 and 8 are about taking time again. 7, no snap judgments. 8, take reasonable time. Which means even though a gut reaction could happen right away, this doesn't mean you have to act on it right away. But don't put off the decision forever because you don't trust yourself. Number 9, notice your body's reaction. You should be able to feel in your gut if something is wrong or if something's right. It might take time to understand whether this is your instinct or something else. In my case, it was my head. Those warning signs came over and over, and I couldn't get rid of them. Listen to your body. Number 10, don't think too hard. Am I really being told something, or is it just my brain freaking out? If you need to choose, then your body's probably letting you know how you should. Gut instincts are an influential advisor in romantic relationships, if used in the best way. Trust yourself. Number 11, determine your needs. As you find yourself thinking about what your gut instinct is telling you, consider that what you need and want out of a specific relationship. If you're not getting what you want and your gut is backing you up on this, it may be time to move on. Fulfillment of your needs is always important. So take, for example, a relationship that's been going on for a long time. Both parties are happy and content until one person wants to take it to the next level. The other person isn't ready. What do you do in this situation? There are many ways to handle this, and everyone is different. So this is where you listen to your body. Are you still feeling content? If your brain is telling you that it doesn't make sense to just hang out in this relationship as is with no progression, and your heart and gut are in agreement, listen to that. They know what's best for you. Number 12, don't ignore your gut. Do your best not to ignore your gut, especially when you're considering gut instinct in relationships. If you continue to ignore your intuitions, you may not be able to tell what they are anymore. Remember, your gut instinct is your superpower. Whew, I'm glad my superpower didn't leave me because of my thick head. You might even make decisions that can be harmful when you don't consider how your body and gut feel about them. It's better to listen to your instincts instead of realizing things too late. Hello. Number 13, check your bias. Make sure you're following your gut for the right reason. Are you only trusting it because it's telling you to do something you want to do? Number 14, look at the evidence. Think about all the evidence in front of you to combine gut and the backing of logic. I dated a guy for a few months who had been recently divorced. I was really interested in him at first. He was tall and handsome. Yeah, I have a type, if tall is a type. He was successful, smart, charismatic, and confident. Back then, I was still intimidated by men, so the fact that this amazing, successful man was interested in me was very flattering. We had fun chatting on the phone and laughing. He also said he loved me fairly soon, and I ate it up. But then his actions after a while stopped aligning with his words, and I got a gut feeling that he wasn't feeling it anymore and was just going through the motions because it was convenient. Yes, I was deciding what his thoughts were, but his actions were totally backing it up. My mind and gut were telling me to end it. I didn't listen, and I kept up with the hope that I was wrong. By the time my heart caught up to my brain and gut, I felt a little humiliated, like I was desperate. So desperate that I just hung on to some guy who clearly wasn't interested anymore, but didn't have the guts to tell me. He was new at it, I get it, but back then it didn't make sense to me. Since I didn't listen to what my gut was telling me, I got to experience all of those yucky, uncomfortable, awkward feelings. Thanks, heart. Number 15, be honest with yourself. Don't make excuses for a person or a situation because you don't want what you feel to be true. If your gut feeling about a relationship is different than what you want for your relationship, this doesn't mean that your instinct is wrong. It would help if you consider your intuition. Yeah, Deb, that's what I said. So, whatever relationship or situation you're in, follow your gut. You're welcome for all my life experiences that hopefully help you to avoid these situations. And happy dating! Hey, are you spinning an indecision? Maybe you're stuck wondering where or how to move forward. Or are you at the point where you can just take one day at a time? I'm a dating coach and I can help. In my one-to-one coaching calls, we'll talk about where you are now, where you want to be, and how I can help you get there. We can do this. I believe in you. Do you want dating tips, funny stories, and real life experiences on the joys and sorrows of being single? Follow me on Instagram, Dating by Deb, and please interact. I love socializing with you.
Debbie Does Dating with your host, Debbie Clawson. Sponsored by Dating by Deb.